Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is Three and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. Everybody do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
Well, we can dance if we want to. We can leave your fans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Optimism Tuesday edition of Three and Out. Houston Kress is making faces.
I just reminded myself of Charles Manson.
Oh, I thought those were your Bobby Knight. Like, I never understood what a game face is, and he did those little...
That's basically exactly what Charles Manson did.
Really?
Yeah, you should look at it. There's a crazy video where he does all of his different, like... And that's basically what Bob Knight did. Mm. And then he tried to beat Dick Vitale's ass.
We never got to that.
We never did talk about that.
After that weekend or whatever.
Dick Vitale, new rule. Don't slap the general in the head.
Yikes.
I really thought he was going to kill him.
He grabbed him. Kinda.
And he said, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. And Dickie V's like, ha 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 ha. He loves me, right, guys? Oh. No, he's ready to kill you. Right here. Right there on the score table.
He almost snapped.
Bob Knight would never snap.
Never.
He is so
temper.
No. He is well he's a well-oiled emotional machine.
Poised. That's what I think of when I hear the word
poised.
The name Bob Knight. Such a poised individual.
Probably one of the scariest men ever.
Yeah, he's not.
Could you have played for a guy like Bob Knight? You coached with a guy kind of like Bob Knight.
I've called him the local Bob Knight before.
Hope he's not listening. Hope he doesn't know me.
He doesn't remember you.
I never had a class with him, so cheers to me. Sorry to everyone who has no idea what we're talking about, but we'll leave it at that.
I probably could have played for either one of them. I did everything the right way.
Oh, okay.
When I came up short, it was just because I was short.
Fair enough. It was never a lack of effort.
No. Nope.
You just play the hand you're dealt.
Yep.
But play it as best you can.
There you go. I'd have been trying to run the motion offense correctly. Just couldn't get there fast enough. Couldn't cut quick enough. Couldn't jump high enough. Well, luckily... It's Optimism Tuesday, but we don't play till tomorrow.
Which is not good, because we normally don't lose on Optimism Tuesday.
Good point.
But Wednesdays are a little bit different. I'd have to go back and check. I feel like we haven't played that many Wednesday games this week. It seems like we got a lot of the Tuesday games. Will Wade was apparently furious that his team has to play did they play the 9 p.m. game tomorrow and then the 11 a.m. game Saturday? He was not happy. This is where it happens. This is where the SEC schedule, people who haven't really cared all year, suddenly get their panties in a wad, and Will Wade is one of them. Obviously, I'm one of them when you talk about Tennessee's schedule, but it is what it is. And at this point,
Yeah, it's all
I don't think tomorrow. You should be complaining that much when you have
other leagues like the Big 12 and the ACC having to do Big
Saturday, Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, Wednesday late to Saturday early is still an extra day there, Will.
Tennessee is 2-2 on the season on Wednesday nights.
50% chance. All right. There we go.
Wins over Alabama State and Florida A&M.
Oh.
Loses to Cincinnati and Georgia.
So we only played one SEC game on a Wednesday?
Against mediocre to good teams on a Wednesday, we get our face caved in. Neat.
Well, it's because Rick Barnes has that extra day to run them.
Yeah, I was hoping for the sandbagging. So much for that. Tonight you get Kentucky.
You think Rick Barnes ran yesterday?
For
himself.
Ran himself?
Yeah.
No, because remember he blamed everybody else for it.
With those timeout trophies in a backpack. That's what I made him do.
Yeah, those are cool. All five of them.
Well, three of them were timeout trophies.
That's true. The two on the left were
Serbian for timeout trophies.
You're going to hell.
It's a good effort.
Kentucky at Texas A&M tonight, 7 p.m. Ole Miss at Auburn also at 7. And then the nightcap, Alabama at Mississippi State, 9 p.m.
Texas A&M gets a win tonight. They're going to be
They'll be dancing.
They're going to be in the NIT for sure.
Look out, man.
They're getting 15-12.
They're on a little bit of a tear.
I mean, it's the same scenario as Tennessee. If they win out, they have a opportunity to be in the NCAA tournament.
Seriously. They're playing a lot better.
They got a really tough schedule.
I mean, they would have four quad one wins to end the season. Heck, Mississippi State might be quad one at home, so that'd be five straight quad one wins.
I think that actually is quad one.
Actually, in Alabama on the road would have been a quad one as well. Wow.
Alabama, Mississippi State tonight.
Buzz Williams figuring it out.
Could be an elimination game for Mississippi State. Can't lose a home game to Alabama.
No. Tennessee, as we've said, plays tomorrow at 8:30. Ugh.
Really?
Yeah. 6:30 is Georgia at South Carolina. Tennessee then at 8:30 at Arkansas.
That's better than 9.
Missouri at Vanderbilt, 9 p.m. And then LSU at Florida, also 9 p.m. And that's the one I think that has Will Wade slightly perturbed because then they turn around and have the Saturday game at 11 a.m. local time against Texas A&M, the streaking Aggies going to Baton Rouge to take on the now 19-8. They'll have either another win or a loss by then, but LSU Tiger. But Tennessee, Arkansas. Isaiah Joe.
Bud Walton Arena.
House of Horrors. I hate that arena. We play horribly, horribly in Bud Walton Arena. Was it 2 years ago where we had a 18-point lead erased in the final 5 minutes?
Sounds right, like the first game of SEC play.
Yep. I think it ended up going to overtime, and we had like two players fouled out.
Are we up that much?
It was a lot.
I remember being up. I remember being up really late in that game.
Yeah. I think we were up by as much as 18, but maybe it was 13 points in the final 3 minutes or something.
In the final 10 minutes of the game, Arkansas scored 24 points to Tennessee's 15.
What was the final score?
Well, it went into overtime, but 95-93.
Okay. What was you have Tennessee's biggest lead in that game?
No.
Okay.
Because Arkansas says Arkansas had the biggest lead in overtime.
Oh, in overtime. So what did we lose by?
2 points.
That's impossible. For the biggest lead to be Arkansas in overtime if we were up by at least 10.
Didn't make sense to me either.
Yeah, let's work on that one. See if we can't get to the bottom of it. But yeah, Tennessee lost 95-93 in overtime 2 years ago. Let me see. I got the recap right here, Billy. Let me see if I can. Oh, I see, because they don't have the little charty thing. That's makes sense. That adds up. That's on me, man.
What do you mean charty thing?
The graph. The scoring graph. Score chart.
I got the play-by-play right here.
Well, I can do that too. I just, you know. Yeah. Basically, bottom line. When's the last time we won at Arkansas? Billy, do you have that?
I can get it.
It was before 2014-15 because that's where I'm at and lost every other time we've played.
Good grief.
And you lost that year too. So go on back one more year. Let's see. I think it's before Barnes.
I don't like we're up that much, Houston.
It's more in my head.
Yeah. No, we were just up late. We were up 6 at the under 4 time, or 8 at the under 4 timeout.
That must be what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let's go and just exercise those demons tonight, or tomorrow night, and, you know, get this thing back on track. That was the second SEC game that year. I think we had lost to Auburn, if I'm not mistaken, because we started league play 0-2 after a 9-0 start.
Oh, I thought this was the first game. I could be wrong.
Bruce Pearl was the last coach to beat Arkansas.
Maybe it was.
At Arkansas.
I'm sorry?
Bruce Pearl.
I'm sorry? Konzo, Tindall, Barnes have not beaten Arkansas at Arkansas? Optimism Tuesday.
We play tomorrow. That's the optimism.
Yeah.
Houston, you want to try to win your $5 back?
What do you want? Talk to me.
I'll give you Vols straight up.
I can't make that decision now. I might have to look at it tomorrow.
But it's Optimism Tuesday.
I know, but I don't want to be too optimistic and give you another $5, of which I forgot to give you yesterday. I have it in my wallet. I just got irrationally angry again at the 18-0 run to erase a 17-point lead and no timeouts called. And did he meet with the media yesterday? Did they ask, were there any follow-up questions to
I think so.
It was nothing good? Okay.
KenPom has us losing by 5, Arkansas.
And I believe it was, what, did he have 7 or 6 at Auburn? Does that sound about right?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Okay. Yeah, the BPI has Arkansas as a 68.2% favorite. Mason Jones leads them in points, rebounds, and assists.
He did talk to the media yesterday.
Oh, he did? Yeah. Oh, good. Maybe we'll get to see if – I'll need to scan through the diction there and see if there was anything interesting. Are you already seeing something? You're scratching your chin like you're frustrated.
No. Okay. I think the first question is a good one.
Okay. Well, we don't have to do that now. We can wait. We can save it. Unless you don't want to.
No, we'll get to it in a minute.
Okay. Isaiah Joe back.
I don't remember him playing. I didn't watch Arkansas much earlier in the year. I can't wait to see him play.
You watched him up here, right, though? You watched that game where we spanked him? We kicked him around a little bit?
In that game.
Huh?
He didn't play in that game.
He did not play.
That's what I'm saying.
Game.
You've seen Arkansas. You just haven't seen them with Isaiah Joe. Yeah, you're going to have a good opportunity to watch him tomorrow.
I don't know why you want to see Arkansas with Isaiah Joe. Not tomorrow.
Oh.
This is a bit of a tangent, but do you know when Raycom ceased being a thing?
Had to be in the last 5 years, right?
I guess. I only say that because the last time we beat Arkansas, that's what channel it was on.
It was on Raycom Sports?
Yeah. But
was Raycom the Jefferson Pilot?
Yeah.
No, but wasn't it after Jefferson Pilot and they kept trying to do that? It was before the SEC Network, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well before the SEC Network.
I remember Raycom from way back in the day, like as a little kid.
Well, this would have been, what year was it that Pearl beat Arkansas at Arkansas?
08-09. You beat them. Yeah.
It's been 11 years.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't know if you remember
that's
this.
Still,
but
what, 5 trips at least?
Before we beat Arkansas that Saturday beforehand, we played Florida, and ESPN College Game Day was here in Knoxville.
Good old days.
That was 08-09?
Yeah.
Is that the one we won?
Yeah, we beat Florida 79-63, and then you beat Arkansas that Wednesday.
79-63?
Yep.
Huh. 08-09.
Was that the 9 o'clock tip?
No, that sounds like it would have been a Saturday game if game day was here.
Yeah, but there was a Florida-Tennessee game that tipped at 9 o'clock and College Game Day was here. It was so weird.
Was like, it a midweek game day?
It was the longest day for me in my life. Because we got to Thompson Bowling Arena at like 3:30 in the morning. Watch college game day.
Those were the days.
Went back to take a nap, and then the game didn't start until 9 p.m.
08-09. What was the – do you see the rankings in that game?
Yeah. Well, on the year, Tennessee tied South Carolina at 10-6 to win the East.
That was the year we hung the banner and won. Didn't we claim an SEC championship that year, though? Pretty sure
I think
we did.
So, even though the West had LSU at 13-3 in conference play.
Oh, then maybe we didn't.
That LSU was the only team that year to finish the rankings in the top 25. You want to talk about like just the SEC being bad?
That's back when the SEC sucked.
Kentucky was 8-8 that year.
Who was their coach at this point? That one, Johnny Jones, was it?
LSU?
Yeah, it was the 08-09 LSU team. Was that the team that had like Big Baby?
Trent Johnson.
We weren't even ranked when we beat
Florida.
Yeah.
What were they ranked?
I don't think
we got game day.
Yeah, we got game day. Neither team
light
was ranked.
Schedule.
Okay.
But
Florida had Tyus and Calathes. Those guys.
I mean,
Nick Calathes. I hated that guy.
Chandler Parsons was sophomore.
I like Chandler Parsons.
We started the season 14th, but then you had and you got as high up as 8. And then you lost to Temple. I don't really remember
nope,
that.
Nope, don't remember that one.
On the road. That was one of those, schedule a road game. No, wrong team.
Oh,
St. Joe's.
That's St. Joe's. The Hawks. Owls, Hawks. It's a bird that flies. But,
if you're listening on the radio, Houston was flapping his wings.
No, I was just doing that's what
like
an owl looks like.
Yeah.
If it kind of sounds familiar.
Yeah, just.
That year you lost to Kansas, then you lost to Gonzaga, then you lost to Kentucky. Those were 3 out of 4, so that dropped you from the rankings. And then you started SEC play. Well, you started SEC play, obviously, playing Kentucky. But you won at Georgia, which we don't see very often. But you also lost to Memphis and LSU.
Yeah, this was the down year. This had to be the year we lost Lofton. Was this Lofton's first year gone?
I thought this was the year he just couldn't play. No, wait, he played. I thought this was the year he played.
So Scotty Hobson's freshman year.
With cancer.
Ryan Childers' senior season.
Yeah. So Lofton was gone because Lofton came in a year afterwards.
Mays, Chisholm, Smith, all juniors.
I still don't know how you didn't win more games, though.
Mays? Bobby?
Yeah. That's what it says here.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
We have Bobby Mays, Wayne Chisholm, Tyler Smith. Right. Is this the team
JP
that lost
Prince,
to
Scotty Hobson?
Is this the team
Oklahoma
that lost to Ohio
State?
Oh, this is the that was
this
a 9-10 game, right?
Mississippi State team.
Or
right?
This was the 8-9 game.
This is the Oklahoma State game.
Yeah. That was the 8-9 game.
Talking about Mississippi State.
I think that's the only time Pearl other than the Michigan game lost in the first round. Yeah, that was a tough season.
77-75.
It was close. I think we came back like 10 in the last couple of minutes and had it close, and then I think Tyler Smith missed a jumper.
Oh, tough season, huh?
Lost
in the SEC championship game, made the NCAA tournament. Don't tell me about tough seasons.
I'm saying, year
four.
Five.
It was four.
Year four.
I'm just saying they weren't very good. They made a run in the SEC tournament to get in the tournament.
It's funny how you were like,
well, we might do that too. We've been sandbagging. Tomorrow, Mason Jones for Arkansas, averaging 20.5 points per game. That's how they do that, 20.5. And then Isaiah Joe, who is back, 16.2. Jimmy Witt Jr., who I think led them in scoring against us in the first meeting, 14.4. Desi, is that it? Desi Sills, averaging 10 points. And then Adrio Bailey, 24 minutes, 7 points per game. Arkansas averaging right at 74 points per contest. What did Isaiah Joe do in the loss to Florida? I'm very, very interested to see that. Mason Jones had 21 against the Gators, and Isaiah Joe dumped in. Wait.
It wouldn't have been Florida if he played this week because Kentucky played Florida.
His first game back was Missouri.
Did I just click the wrong game?
I believe so.
Yes, I did.
You know, Davey, Raycom Sports?
Yes, I did.
Still.
Oh, he led them in scoring with 21.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They did partner with Jefferson Pilot for a while.
I knew they weren't dead.
Yeah. I knew I'd seen them last year somewhere. It was on an NFL preseason
okay,
game.
That's what I was going to say.
They're headquartered in Charlotte. I guess when the local crew does the Panthers preseason.
They must do some stuff with the SEC Network, too, if they're in Charlotte. Raycom, like I know I've seen Raycom on something, like maybe like a one-off show on SEC Network, yeah, like maybe. SEC Now or something like that. Because I felt like I'd seen them fairly recently.
It's a production
wasn't
a company.
Headphone commercial?
So. No, it might have been the boiled egg peeler commercial. Hmm. Or the Tommy John's Copper. Tommy Copper? I don't know. There's so many. I feel like that's all they ever sell on SEC Network unless there's a game on. It's as seen on TV as seen on TV devices like Flex Seal, egg peelers, dent and scratch repair, Gotham Steel. And then they get, like, you know, cars during actual competition contests.
Yeah. Missed the slap chop guy. Wish they'd bring him back for more
slap
stuff.
Didn't he get in trouble? Didn't he, like...
He had an issue with a prostitute, but,
yeah.
I mean, we've all been there.
I thought
he
made it back after the slap chop incident. Because didn't he slap her?
He had the slam ShamWow.
ShamWow. Ah, rest in peace, Billy Mays. Isaiah Joe had 21 points in 37 minutes, so safe to say he's back. They didn't exactly ease him into this game against Missouri. He played the second most minutes on the team behind Jimmy Witt Jr. Jones, leading scorer, had 12 points in 29 minutes. They got five players in double figures against Missouri. Yikes. Oh, Musselman. Yikes. Yikes. They played a lot of guys for a team that doesn't play a lot of guys.
When the ACC Network launched, it basically ended any Raycom TV stuff. But they're still a digital partner with ESPN for ACC's regional sports networks.
Mm.
So there you go.
So it's ACC?
Yeah, it was always
where
a big
I've seen
ACC
them?
Thing.
Okay.
I remember they used to have this like Carolina Classic thing on Raycom like early in the non-conference schedule. It's like South Carolina would play some random team, usually a terrible one. North Carolina would play another pretty random team, a little better because North Carolina could beat them, and then the winners and the losers would play, and the only goal of this entire thing was to get North Carolina to play South Carolina. So when South Carolina's basketball team was really, really bad, I mean, it'd be like, you know,
Houston, the ACC
Central
Network,
North State West or something like that.
The ACC Network, their headquarters are in Charlotte as well.
No, I'm just saying the SEC Network located there. Figure they'd have some corporate fist bumps going on.
I guess technically the headquarters is still Bristol, but all the programming and everything for SEC
Network's headquarters are in Charlotte. ESPN's headquarters are in Bristol, and then the SEC headquarters are in Birmingham. But the SEC Network is headquartered in Charlotte. The SEC Network. They are, of course, owned by ESPN.
Well, the ACC's headquarters then are in Bristol, even though they do most of their stuff.
The
in
ACC?
Charlotte. Yeah.
Headquarters or the network headquarters?
ACC Network headquarters are in Bristol.
Interesting. I said SEC.
I know. I was saying, there for a second, I thought they both, because ACC Network just launched last year.
Right. Are they partnered with ESPN then?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. That's an ESPN thing.
I figured. I guess I wasn't sure. Weren't they worried that would upset the SEC?
I don't remember. Maybe.
Okay. Okay.
It has not been nearly as good, I don't think, as the SEC Network.
Of course not.
ACC Network has the plus thing, like they, I don't know, the,
yeah,
like they put that Clemson football game on it, you couldn't watch
I think it. I actually have it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Don't really know why. DirecTV hooked me up, I guess. Mm. What can I say?
Got the check.
Yeah, I didn't even know it until like midway through the season.
No.
When Clemson had already played any game that I might be interested
in
watching.
Right,
I guess, I thought the Longhorn Network, which is Texas,
I'm pretty
sure that's an ESPN subsidiary as well.
So yeah, that's the one where old Tom Herman was flipping off the camera during signing day.
I don't have that one either.
So
I don't think I have that one.
That one would be, I guess, three of the main five are with ESPN because there's no Big Tens with Fox.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Pac-12, like I don't even know if they've figured anything out. I mean, that's their big
issue. Do they have a network? I thought they were wanting one and still didn't have one. No, they do. Surely to goodness, they do.
I think they do, but it's, as far as their rights, it's
didn't
kind
they
of a
have
weird
it
situation.
First, but it's not through ESPN. Because I believe the Pac-12 said, we can do this on our own. We don't need any help from ESPN. And I think there's like a few different Pac-12 network channels, and none of them are remotely successful because everything the Pac-12 tries to do turns to absolute junk.
The Pac-12, their CEO or whatever.
Because you brought up Raycom?
Said, he brought up Raycom. And then
he
I
said
kept,
not to go on I a kept, tangent, I and the show has been on a tangent ever since he brought up the
and
word
I
Raycom.
I kept reading about it because I remember Raycom basketball as a little kid growing up in the Carolinas. Anyway, the Pac-12 dude, Larry Scott, funny name, right? Different Larry Scott.
Obviously.
He says the Pac-12 is not a conference, it's a media company.
Right.
He wanted to make it a media company.
But so everything they do is terrible.
Right. Instead of taking their member institutions and the events that they put on and partnering with a production company, they started their own production company. Because they had a lot of experience in that area, being a bunch of colleges and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's
well,
gone
I mean,
great.
In fairness, they've got, like, what, two schools in L.A.? I mean, I'd say there's a lot of guys out there who know how to do some production and run a camera.
Sure,
they
but
have
that's not
six
really.
Six regional channels.
That's what I thought. I knew that there was a few. Like,
there's
they have
Pac,
yeah,
Pac-12 Arizona, Pac-12 Bay Area, Pac-12 Los Angeles, Pac-12 Mountain, Pac-12 Oregon, and Pac-12 Washington.
Fox Sports South. Fox Southeast, Fox Sports Tennessee.
They call those the regional sports networks, right? The RSNs.
It makes sense if you're Fox to do that.
And I don't know who. Well, Fox tried to sell them, and then I can't remember who tried to buy them, and then they weren't allowed to buy them because I don't know. It was a whole
one big mess. But yeah, Raycom, and here we are, 20 minutes later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jefferson Pilot. It's gonna be like an old man card one day.
On CSS.
Like, there you go.
What was that?
I mean, I feel like old guys sit at
Comcast Sports South. Is that what the CSS stood for?
Yeah.
Oh. What were we thinking?
I feel like old guys sitting around the Hardee's. Hey, you remember when the ball games used to be back on?
Jefferson Pilot.
Remember when we had to pay-per-view to watch the opener, Tennessee opening football games? Those were the days.
That feels, feels like forever ago, but it really wasn't.
Yeah.
I remember watching an Arkansas game one year, and I mean, I'm talking when the zeros hit, it just cut. They didn't do any post-game interviews. They didn't do any, like, recap or replays. It was just, Tennessee wins, they'll take a knee, and your pay-per-view has ended. I was like, okay, neat. Good thing. I was like, if it had gone to overtime, would we have gotten that, or was that extra?
Yeah.
Extra time. All right, good stuff.
Sam wanted us to not talk basketball, so there you go. Oh. Television networks.
Well, we got a little bit of a baseball update, and sorry, I do want to hear, if it's any good, I do want to hear what Rick Barnes said yesterday.
We'll hit that next. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. I'm just blown away by the In the Breaks podcast right now. I mean, it wasn't that.
It's about molasses.
Yeah. Anytime molasses is involved, it's a good story.
Sweet,
like.
Sassy molassie.
Grandmas.
I feel like if you have a story and it involves molasses, it might be a mid-level story, but it won't be bad. Like, it'll be a pretty good story. And the more jars,
you know,
there was a
molasses.
It's a nine-jar story.
There was a molasses explosion in I think it was Boston that killed a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah.
Recently?
This was years and years and years ago. A big silo.
1800s?
Yeah, seriously. A big silo full of molasses broke, and there was a molasses tidal wave, and people, like, drowned in it.
Really?
Look it up.
I think I will. Not at the moment, but later.
It may not have been Boston, but for some reason, I think it was Boston. Mm. Because they make the baked beans.
Remember that one summer we went down, like, the most valuable, like,
liquids.
The Great Molasses Flood.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. The Great Molasses Flood. What year was that?
January 15th, 1919.
Yeah.
The North End neighborhood of Boston, Massachusetts.
It was Boston. How about that? Look at this big brain.
A large storage tank filled with 2.3 million U.S. gallons of molasses.
Millions?
Was it $1.49 a jar?
That dude would be in heaven.
Or 2.3 million.
Did you say five jars of molasses?
Nine.
What do you do with nine jars of molasses?
I think he just bought all of them.
Buy in
to
bulk.
Calm the store.
Yeah, so you get the.
So they couldn't go back to the shelf and say, no, it was really here.
Mm. He got them all. He's going to resell them. Check eBay. I bet there's eight jars of molasses.
Yeah, he had to
listed.
Keep that one.
killed 21 and injured 150.
21 people? I told you. In molasses?
There's like bad ways to die, and then there's like that. Like, that's on another level. It's like, could you imagine being at the funeral and like you're having this, like, oh, how'd he die? Well, the molasses got to him.
I feel bad laughing.
I mean, it was 100 years ago.
That's still, people's life ended. They had a bright future, maybe.
Or they could have been terrible people. You don't know.
Yeah, it was Boston in 1919.
What is that? What does that mean?
Boston, it's a tough.
That's pretty prejudiced.
No, Boston's always been it's a tough town, man. There's a lot of mean people in Boston.
It happened approximately at 12:30 in the afternoon. Some people just enjoying their lunch break, more than likely. And the next thing you know,
they missed the Roaring Twenties.
Almost had it. What was the date?
January.
Oh, they were a year away. Told you the great molasses flood.
Whose great idea was it to put in a massive silo that also, could then flow event downhill?
Well, and I feel like in folklore. January in Boston, molasses is not going to flow that fast.
Residents claimed for decades afterwards that the area still smelled of molasses
on hot
summer days.
There's worse smells.
Well, could you imagine, though? It's kind of like
it's a sad reminder.
Yeah. It's like, there's Uncle Bobby.
This is where he was. Covered in molasses. Imagine cleaning that up.
How fast is that stuff?
That's what I'm saying. Molasses is like, it's like thicker than syrup. And on a cold day, I mean, that's a saying. It's like, he's slower than molasses in December. It was a warm day. I expanded and busted the tank. Here it comes. It's still coming. Like, just run away. It's molasses. Like, what are you doing?
Maybe the whole tank just fell and it just hit.
Yeah, I guess it could be. And then it busted and then covered them in molasses. Maybe they would have made it, but they were trapped under the tank and covered in molasses.
Boy, I bet the said, flies. Slow and steady wins the race.
There probably weren't any flies in January.
She died in a house fire.
One of his tribes says that's like dying in moving quicksand.
I always thought quicksand would be the worst. You just know you're done.
Yeah, there was something like, what was something as a kid that was terrified, that you were terrified of, that you've never encountered in your life, and everyone just said quicksand. Because growing up on all the cartoons, like that's what, got them, they're in the quicksand. I've never seen quicksand.
Shane Falco talked about quicksand.
Yeah, but that was a different kind of quicksand. That was metaphorical quicksand. Quicksand. Yeah, that stuff's scary. Like, you get in it, and the more you struggle. No. Not real quicksand.
What are you talking about, Coach? Bees on the field.
You took my pip. What did Rick Barnes say yesterday, Nate?
Well, the first question, I think, is pretty good. They asked him, hey, Coach, what can you do
in this? Is that how they said it? Yep. Hey, Coach.
Hey, Coach, reporter here.
I got a question for you, Coach.
What can you do in the second half of games to help your team when things are going wrong?
Oh, boy. Can't wait to see Rick Barnes toe tap around this one. Let's see. What's he got?
The wave of molasses reached 25 feet?
It was a big container, man.
Says it moved at 35 miles an hour.
Oh, that's pretty fast.
Whoa.
That's pretty
fast.
No,
that's moving.
You can't outrun that.
No.
I mean, what's Usain Bolt's top speed? Probably not 35, right?
Can you, I mean.
31?
Most people didn't have a vehicle that would out drive that in 1919.
A horse. Pfft.
35 miles an hour is fast.
The same boat can run up to 27 miles per hour.
Yikes.
That molasses.
He couldn't even outrun.
I know. It got him.
Dang. But a horse can run 55.
Well, they
so
can,
just,
I mean, they can, but not every horse. Just
it was 1919. I feel like all these people should have had hosses. I don't know. It was a big city. Probably just walked. Or they had the first cars.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That's a question I wish I had a ready answer for it.
He didn't have an answer ready for this question? He didn't think this would... Okay.
We talk about execution. It's not just on the offensive end when things are not going well for you. When momentum changes in a game.
He does believe in momentum.
Rick Barnes believes in momentum. This is the reason I was like, earlier. Are you kidding me? Oftentimes, it goes back to defense, where you get spread out. You're not doing the same things you were doing on the defensive end. On the offensive end, still, you've got to make shots, but you have to execute. You cannot turn the ball over. If you turn the ball over, it's just going to continue to fuel that momentum. We talk about ball security a lot. It goes back to when you start turning down shots. Normally things don't turn out well for you. He continued, with 2 minutes to go in the game, it's a tie game. I think when you go on the road this time of year against talented teams and good teams, you would take it every time. You know what else I'd take?
17-point lead, yeah.
But you have to find a way to close. To do that, we need not just one guy playing well, two guys playing well. We need everybody playing well, playing their role and doing what we need them to do. We just haven't gotten it. We're all excited about Jordan Bowden, the way he played, but we would have loved to see John Fulkerson play the way he was playing when Jordan wasn't playing well. Those two guys, Santi getting in foul trouble was a big play. Him doing it 80 feet from the basket to 90 feet from the basket was just not a smart play. Having to sit, we have to handle the ball better, but you think about the turnover at half court, that shouldn't happen.
Which one? He's talking about the 5 second call, or are you talking about Josiah into the back of Ponds, or is he talking about Bowden into the back of Ponds?
We had a great 3-point shot. We were down three. We turn it down and dribble in and lose the ball. Those are just decisions you hope you don't make.
So nothing about I'll call a timeout next time?
Well, that was the follow-up question.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad there was good. That's a good follow-up. Check mark for whoever asked the follow-up.
But they kind of gave him an excuse built in. They said, hey, coach. Lie. Does the makeup of your team determine whether you would use a timeout when the other team is on a run? And he said, yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt. But you can call timeouts, but when you come out of timeouts, you don't execute. What does it matter? I just know this
so
time
he's
of
just
year.
He's just doubling down.
At any level of basketball, you have to have tough, hard-nosed, seasoned guard play. You've got to have it because that's what's going to get down to. I guess he meant to say what it's going to come down to. You've got to have it. You have to have guards that are going to make plays. They're going to have to do some things. They're going to have to handle the ball correctly. They're going to have to make the right decisions. They're going to have to get your team organized. They have to come out of timeouts knowing exactly what you're doing. Guards can do that. We've just been so inconsistent there. So he doesn't want to call a timeout because it's going to make his guys play worse. Worse than 18 straight points given. Worse than the worst stretch of the entire season.
Uncle Chuck tweets in and says, so Barnes continues to blame his players for everything.
Yeah. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, really. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard from a high-level coach.
Yeah, it's bad. I'm not saying fire him.
Right.
I'm just saying this is not this isn't it. I mean, I wonder if in his heart of hearts he regrets not taking a timeout but won't admit that, or if he really does firmly believe he was doing the right thing by letting his team dangle on the hook.
Well, this reminds me of Butch Jones. Like, I would like it a lot better if Rick Barnes would be like, yeah, I mean, looking at what happened, I should have called a timeout.
Right. Yeah, like you have hindsight now. Do you wish you had called a timeout?
Sure. Surely he would admit that now that I know that Auburn's going to make all their shots and we're going to either not get a shot or miss all of ours.
Or turn it
I would have taken a timeout.
That, even that would satisfy me a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
he could say at the time I thought, you know, we'd get the media timeout.
Out of it, yeah.
We got a couple of good looks, so
yeah,
I thought
he didn't
really
even mention that. He didn't even mention the media timeout or the review, which is surprising. Because I feel like that would be, if I was trying to defend myself in this situation, which is kind of what I did yesterday, defend him, like there was a stoppage and then there was a media timeout. I feel like if I'm him, I'm going right to that saying, look, we had a couple timeouts in there, kind of built in.
Yeah.
But he's not even...
I thought we had stopped the momentum a couple times. We got some good looks. They just didn't go down. He kind of said we got good looks, but...
They did. They missed a couple layups again. A couple of short jumpers, which has been a problem for this team. They get a good look, and then they miss a bunny.
He admitted Josiah James has had a tough year. We'll get into some of the other stuff here in the final segment. Hour one next, right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number one, is brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at knoxvillesmiles.com and make your appointment. Doctors Costa and Malone would love to help you out with all your dental needs. Creating beautiful smiles, one relationship at a time. It's Knoxville Smiles online at knoxvillesmiles.com. Here's what I think is funny. You'll have the Vol for Life Facebook people defending Josiah James to the to the death. Basically, like, not every five
I'm
stars.
Molasses death?
Not every five stars, going to be this good. Da, 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 da. I mean, even Rick Barnes was asked to assess his freshman season. And Barnes says he's had a tough year. He's been hurt all year long, and when you're in and out of the lineup, he wasn't feeling great Saturday, and he didn't practice the day before. So, I mean, obviously, he's building in the excuse, but, like, it's funny to me when people say, like, well, no, I mean, he's a freshman. What did you expect? Like, well, I think even Rick Barnes expected, if he was healthy, that he would play better. And I think maybe even Josiah James would think that, too. But you go ahead. Believe whatever you want. That's fine. Barnes was also asked how disheartening it is to have a team struggling to close games late in the season.
Tell me about it.
It's just where we are. He kind of went through the list of excuses again about Viscovi being new, Bowden being, you know, not playing that well. Said he, you know, we're pleased that Jordan Bowden finally came back, he said.
Me too.
Jordan Bowden let his twin brother play part of most of the season, I guess.
Okay. That's, I don't know exactly what you're doing here, but not a big fan.
I'm just trying to lighten the mood. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Optimism mm-hmm. Tuesday. I don't mm-hmm. get too serious about this stuff. Mm-hmm. What can we do? Mm-hmm. The game's over.
Mm-hmm.
They also asked him if the Auburn loss will have a lingering effect. Barnes said, we've lost how many games now? I would be shocked. We're getting ready to go play Arkansas, another team that has their leading scorer back. It's not like anything is a given in this league. You're going to have to earn it. And if we play hard enough to earn it, we will. And if we don't, we won't. If I thought that after any game, it would have been South Carolina, because we really did control that game late into the game. Were we up on in Auburn? What? Where we were up in Auburn, there was a lot of time left. And they have the ability to come back, which South Carolina does too. But the way South Carolina did it, to answer your question, I'd be shocked if that happened.
I don't know what you just said.
I'm just reading the transcript. I think he was saying, let me translate for you. Rick Barnes is saying,
please,
I think we choked more at South Carolina than we did at Auburn. I think that's what he's saying.
Really?
Yeah.
I disagree. But to each his own, I guess. All right. Thank you, Nate.
That's most of the good stuff. They asked him about the Euro step. You know, whatever.
And?
You can't.
All right. Thank you, Nate.
You can't take two steps, Barnes says.
Yes, you can. I mean, don't you get two in the college game? Am I crazy?
You can't take. And then he paused and said, you get a layup. You can sidestep with it, but when that fourth foot comes down, it's a travel. You can sidestep with the same 1.5 steps that you have, that pivot foot you take off that comes back down, that's when it's a travel. I'll put together a tape for you and show it to you.
Oh, good. Great. Thank you, Nate.
Let's go to the phone lines.
Please, God.
We've got Roberto up first. What's up, Berto?
First of all, did Rick Barnes say, I'll put a tape together and show you, or was that Nate ad-libbing?
That's what Rick Barnes said.
Wow. He just Butch Jones this. I have done my research. Have you done your research?
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I'm just going to say it. And this is just, it's got me triggered as hell. Rick Barnes' ego is becoming an issue.
Hmm.
I mean, maybe, I don't know if that's a to be sarcastic or
no,
not.
No, I'm pondering it.
His ego is becoming an issue. Throwing it to everything you just said, everything they just quoted and said, is a man trying to not take blame for something. Well, Eurostep is, it sounds like he doesn't even know what the hell that is, first of all. But if he does know what it is, because, you know, Butch Jones, I'll show you the tape. I've done my research. Have you done your research? To me, it says either he doesn't know what it is or he hasn't coached it out of it. That's on him at this point. The kid's been there for 2 months. Stop doing that. You are not allowed to do that. Stop. Or you will not play. And I thought that's what was happening the first couple of games. But what he's realized is he has to have Biscovia on the court for his team to have a chance to win. By the way, this is the same man that 2 months ago when Biscovia showed up was seriously considering a red shirt.
Yeah, my guess is at that point he had no idea how good Biscovia would be once he got here.
Even though Billy knew in 6 minutes of film.
Why does Billy always get credit for Biscovia? I feel like I watched it first, and I was like, this guy can shoot
Pardon
and
me,
dribble.
I was the first one to talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, Robert, yeah.
Okay. I'll give all of you credit. Who cares?
In fairness.
Anyone that watched, that makes it better. Everyone that saw it knew.
You'll never find bigger Biscovia apologists than the guys on the morning show and Roberto. Let's just say that out loud. We are all in on him, and I think he's special. But that's the only positive thing I have to say today. I just think Rick Barnes, you know, Rick Barnes saying Triple J has had a rough season. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, everybody's seen that. And everybody, you know, knows that Triple J was not a five-star out of high school. He just wasn't. He doesn't have the offensive all-around game. I think he's a nice player. And in time, I think he will contribute heavily here. He's not also going to be a one-and-done. I think we're all on board with that. I don't even know if he's going to be a three-and-done. But as far as Rick Barnes, I mean, let's set it out there and say, could it just be his ego, gentlemen? I mean, could this just be totally ego-driven? I mean, he threw John Dang Fulkerson under the bus the other day after he had, what, like 16, 11, and 2 or something like that? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. No, and it was more than that. Under the bus. He had 25 against South Carolina, and he blamed him for the loss.
Oh, yep. Okay, so it was 25. I mean, really? John Fulkerson was the only guy that showed up against South Carolina, in my opinion. Well, not Biscovia, I guess, but, you know, whatever. He didn't have his best game. He had a bunch of turnovers. But to me, this just sounds like a man reeling. And, hey, look, Rick Barnes, the deacon, the whatever you want to call him, Reverend Barnes, he's a good Christian man, and I'm in on that. I think that's a good thing to put in these young men's lives, is to have a coach that gives a crap about them beyond basketball as people, okay? But Rick Barnes, the basketball coach, and Rick Barnes, the deacon, at this point, it needs to start being set apart because he is making $5 million, okay? And for me, again, I think it's great that he's a man of faith. I have no problem with that at all. But I also have a problem with the man that can't take, you know, shoulder his own blame. And he is not doing that at all. Look at his comments for the last 2.5 weeks. If he was a man that was truly convicted that he was wrong and everybody else was right, he would be contrite, and he's not. He's not saying it's my fault.
Thanks for the call, Roberto. You know, he always kind of talks this way, but I know through some Philip Fulmer comments recently, you can tell that Barnes is kind of perplexed by this whole season and frustrated with all the stuff that he felt like was out of his control. And I think this is his reaction to it. And I agree with Roberto. I don't think it's the ideal reaction. It'd be a little better if he could kind of try and shoulder some of that and shield his players. But to this point, he hasn't done it. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number 2. Stick with us on Fan Run Radio.